The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It's Monday, December 6th, and we have a killer Monday Night Football game. Maybe it won't be a bunch of points, but it has high stakes. And the Patriots head to Buffalo, a border town, as everyone knows. I'm just kidding. Also, Buffalo, if you didn't know, 7 hours away from Boston, Massachusetts, where Tyler Sullivan lives. Sully, what's up, buddy?
What's going on, Will? I was going to start with giving you like a Southern accent or a try, do my own Brian Kelly, yeah. But I'm not sure if that was
really family. Actually, you should try.
He's literally born. He was born in Everett, Massachusetts, grew up in Chelsea, Massachusetts. When I tell you that was a town over from where I am from, and you obviously know the accent that I have, it's not a Southern one.
So he's like basically spent his entire life working the Boston accent out.
Yes.
And now, for those who don't know, Brian Kelly, hired by LSU, away from Notre Dame, goes down for his first introductory. He's introduced at the basketball game, and he goes out there at half court, and he's like, when we got here, my family, and he's like, I have not even won all my football games yet. It's like, what are you doing? What is happening? He's like, any Southerner would say, ain't won. It's like the whole thing is very – I want to know if he's still talking to his family in that accent, Sully. Like – Is this permanent? Was it just a one-time sort of thing? You know, if my dad goes to a Spanish restaurant or a Mexican restaurant or whatever it is, he'll like slide into this, like trying to be familiar, you know, like he'll slide into the accent. Is that what Brian Kelly was doing, or is this going to be full time? Like, has he been speaking to his family in this accent for the entire weekend? That's what I need to know.
Like, I don't know, like, if he has any kids or his wife are just like, what are you doing? Like, what is this?
Do you run it by anybody? Or are you like, hey, look, I think I want to do this, like, Southern accent thing? And she's like, oh, cool. Yeah, go for it. Or is she like, hold on a second, Brian, professional adult I've been married to for 30 years. Why don't you run that accent by me first? And if she did say that, did he then run it by her and she was like, oh, that's fantastic. That is a killer Southern accent. You should definitely do that in the middle of an LSU basketball game. The whole thing.
The best.
I need more.
Everett in Chelsea zone from the South. It's just, yeah. Brian Kelly for us.
Anywho, I can do a whole podcast on that. I'm actually disappointed that the Cover 3 guys didn't do an emergency independent podcast solely on Brian Kelly's accent.
It's a great point.
Really, like, if we were a college football podcast, we would have stopped everything and done an emergency podcast on Brian Kelly's accent.
In a Southern accent.
Absolutely. Like in a what's the rooster from Lindy Tins? A Foghorn Leghorn. In a Foghorn Leghorn accent the whole time. It's like, I say, sir. Ridiculous. Anyway, this is ridiculous too. If you're watching on YouTube, subscribe, like, and comment. Tell us your favorite bet for the Bills and Patriots game, which will take place this evening. And I am not there on my – there we go. I was not there on my rundown. The Bills are -2.5, maybe -3. Depends on where you're looking and what time you're listening. We still have -3 at Caesars right now, +100. So even money, -3. Pats, +3, -120. Pats +125 on the money line, Bills -145 on the money line, and the total sitting at 41. The weather is kind of crucial here, Sully, because we were joking because I didn't realize that Buffalo was literally on the border. I should have, because I've flown into Toronto and flown over Buffalo, but I didn't realize you could potentially live in Buffalo and live on the border of America, which is kind of crazy.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, very cool. Looks like it's going to be windy. 25 gust all day, 26 to 25 mile an hour wind. throughout the day. It starts to tail off a little bit in the 10 p.m., 11 p.m. range, but decent chance of rain. Actually, it doesn't look like it's not going to rain tonight. It's just going to be windy and about in the 50s. Let's see. Oh, no. Yep, that's going to be in the 30s.
Yeah, it's going to dip down at night. Yeah.
It's going to be cold as hell and windy in Western New York. I mean, total's 41. So it sort of speaks for itself, right? What do you think about this total? What do you think about the spread?
Well, this total, I mean, it's really sunk. Obviously, the weather's a huge piece of that, right? Because it opened at like 46.5. This thing's taken a huge tumble, obviously. When you talk about that weather, it's a huge standpoint. I think it's something that's going to be fascinating to see, obviously, in this game in itself. But from a Patriots standpoint, something I wrote about over the weekend, how's Mac Jones going to deal with this? Because this is a kid that's grown up in Jacksonville, Florida, played his college ball at Alabama, hasn't really faced these elements. He's just started to kind of deal with them here in New England. It was a little bit cold a few weeks ago when they were playing a week ago when they were playing Tennessee. It snowed a little bit in Foxborough, but from someone who's been around here, it's not the cold it's been. It's going to get much, much colder. And for somebody like Jones, who's now in New England, he's going to have to play in these elements. So I do think it's going to be interesting to see how he kind of deals with that on a macro level. But for this game, I don't love the under here just because it's so low at 41. I would love to have got it on its way down somewhere, yeah. But I still am leaning under just because the weather's there. You have both defenses are number one and number two, respectively, in DVOA coming in to week 13. So, I mean, you're talking about great defenses, both, you know, at least from a New England standpoint, love to run the football, and weather's a factor. That's a recipe for the under.
Yeah, it's you can't take the over. Yeah. I mean, you can. Anybody can. If you like the over, by all means, help yourself. I have no interest in it. We've seen these late. I mean, it's December. It's Western New York. It's on a gigantic lake. We have seen this situation play out plenty. And you have a team in the Patriots that is extremely run heavy. That is extremely not extremely conservative. They're just going to be. They have no issues eating up the clock. And Buffalo is not a great run team at all. However, I don't think that they will want to get super hyper aggressive with Josh Allen and try to, you know, light up the Patriots defense, because the Patriots defense is good again. I also believe that the Bills first of all, I wanted this out. I love the Patriots in this game. I think the Patriots win the game outright. I don't care if that's the public chalky side, whatever. I've been thinking the Pats would win this game for 3 weeks. I think the Bills embarrassed. Bill Belichick got embarrassed last year on Monday Night Football in week 16 by the Bills in his home stadium on national television with Tom Brady gone and but making the playoffs and Belichick going to a losing season. And everybody wondering if, you know, Tom Brady was his bag of magic beans. And the Bills sent a message that this is our division now. You're out. I hope you enjoyed your 20-year run. It's over. This is ours. And Belichick has a chance to rip that back and say, no, my friends. And I think he takes it tonight. I agree with you. The Mac Jones thing with the weather is concerning. Josh Allen was asked about weather and said, this is kind of why they drafted me, because I played at Wyoming. I mean, not that Wyoming really has, you know, Western New York weather, but he's like, I'm used to playing in the elements. This is my sort of thing. I think he'll be comfortable in the elements. I also believe that Belichick will throw a bunch of junk at him defensively. And in order to combat that, I think the Bills' offensive game plan may be a little more conservative, especially given the weather, given the conditions, et cetera.
Yeah, no, I think it's a good point. And when I say I'm concerned about Mac Jones, it's just because we haven't seen it from
him. It's just a lack of experience. I mean,
you know, because quarterbacks have been able to do this. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is from California, played at Cal, and he's playing in Green Bay, and he's an MVP.
And Mac looked good in nasty weather in New England against the Buccaneers earlier this year. But, I mean, this is a different beast.
Right, and it's just something that we haven't seen from him yet, so it's something to take note of. I like the Patriots in this game, too. I like it at 3. I'll take it at 2.5. Like you said, the money line's probably a great move here as well.
I bet the money line in 3 last night I didn't want to wake up and have it be like 2.5 and I had to buy the point.
Right,
or whatever.
Right, exactly. Real quick, though, with that game last year, another little kind of piece that we need to pay attention to is J.C. Jackson versus Stephon Diggs. Last year, Diggs torched the secondary for 140-something yards and 3 touchdowns. It was a monster game from Diggs, and a lot of that both the two touchdowns and a chunk of those yards were against J.C. Jackson. So this is another one where J.C. Jackson going to be a free agent at the end of this season. He's going to want that big contract. This is an opportunity to kind of right that wrong from a year ago and show that he's a shutdown corner here. That's a matchup worth watching tonight.
What's his Twitter handle? Mr. INT or something
Mr.
like
that? Mr. INT, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like he's playing awesome. And you're right. Yeah. I like revenge game narratives. Not that this is the J.C. Jackson revenge angle is we got smoked by Steph Diggs last year. Let's try and lock him down. Although that may not work here because Belichick, that's not really how Belichick approaches things. He's more likely to put two guys on Diggs and ask the Bills to beat him with the run game or Cole Beasley or Dawson Knox. Like he would love that if they try to run the offense through Cole Beasley, which frankly they've done. Brian Daboll's done to his detriment several times this year already.
And I do wonder too, you bring up Brian Daboll, you know, former Alabama guy, knows Mac Jones a little bit. I do wonder if there's something there from a defensive standpoint that the Bills could kind of point out there as well. But the one thing I did want to highlight, because something's got to give here between these two teams. The Patriots have been unbelievable in the second half over the last month. They've outscored their opponents over the final two quarters, 63-0. It is just they have been slamming the door shut on these opponents when they get into that second half. But the Bills this season, they are the number two team in the NFL in points scored in the second half. It's around like 15 points per game. So they both do things particularly well in the second quarter. It's just something's got to give there. So be careful with a, you know, backdoor cover and things like that when you start to, you know, mention that.
I'll be curious to see how this turtle operates on the live line too, because I think there's a decent, like, 41 is too, like I said, I wouldn't bet the over here. It's not many points at all. You know, you can get a 41 easy, but then you look at the Chiefs Broncos game on Sunday night, and it's like, I mean, you know, those are maybe two good defenses. I don't know, but at least one really good offense in theory. And you know, you get a lot of points. You know, this game could go under 25 points.
Yeah.
I would need to see, I guess what my point is, I'm trying to suggest that maybe wait and see what happens live, but be cautious because the total could sink. If they get out there and they're running clock, running the football, the wind is a problem. This total could, you know, sometimes they adjust the live lines, but it sinks down to like 32.5, at which point you obviously don't want to take that either way. So I'm sort of with you, slightly into the under. I wish there was a better.
Right.
Like I would have bet it like a Wednesday, but you know, I don't bet Monday Night Football till Monday night. So I don't know. You know,
well, you can so see that scenario where it's like, you know, okay, you're going to wait till the thing starts. And then all of a sudden you get the camera shots of the goalpost starts swaying and they start running the football a little bit more. And you're like, oh my God, this thing is sunk beyond repair. And right. You can't even touch it.
And you can't exactly. So yeah, slight lean, to the under as well. By the way, let's take a quick look before we get out of here. Cowboys Saints, click on that, Chris. I just want to see. Do we? I can't remember if we did well or not. But
probably not. But who knows?
Probably not. Just want to see the player, Ross. Oh. Yeah. We got there with Taysom, with Schultz and Callaway under. Taysom Hill. Did Taysom score?
I don't think so. He didn't.
He had 26 fantasy points, but he didn't score.
Zeke. Great night.
Yeah. All right.
Anyway. Zeke, I think, had two. I think I remember Zeke having two receptions where I'm like, okay.
I think Dak went under.
If you're watching
on YouTube, by the way, we're recapping Thursday night's.
I'm not sure if Gallup got a touchdown, but I don't remember what he did beyond that. He might have gone under that total, 46.5. I don't think he had. I think he might have went under there.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, back to Pats and Bills. I don't know why I sidetracked on I don't know why I sidetracked. Anyway, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll do some player props. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives, you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip. Maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. Wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
So for the player props, this is, again, this is a tricky one for us, Sully, because we both agree that this should see. This is exactly right. This is four overs. But I was looking at it. I was like, man, everything screams take unders here. But I almost think, and we'll do DFS. There'll be a separate YouTube video for DFS. But in these spots where like everyone is going to be playing the defenses, you know, and everyone is thinking, oh, you know, this is an under city. You know, we got to take, everything's going to go under. Nobody will be able to pass in this weather. Well, Mac Jones and Josh Allen can throw in wind. They can throw. Yeah. I mean, they're not going to be hitting tons of deep balls. It's not going to be a shootout. But, and I'm prefacing our player props because we have eight overs here in this total of 41. but all of them, you did the same thing I did. And I like that you have Josh Allen over rushing yards. Is the idea is we picked, they're low numbers. You know, we're not trying to clear Steph Diggs over 89 and a half receiving yards. Like I don't want anything to do with big numbers. I do, however, want to bet on short passes and quick hitting options, like for instance, Dawson Knox over 29 and a half receiving yards at plus money. You and I both have that prop. I love Dawson. Dawson Knox has been awesome this year. He's not the number one weapon, so Belichick's not going to focus on him. I think, I forgot to do the injury report portion of the program. Is Kyle Duggar going to play in this game? He's not, right?
It doesn't look like it yet. They still have until, I believe, 4 p.m. to activate him. But I'm not sure if he's going to play. But how about this? If he doesn't, if he plays, he missed an entire week of practice to prepare for this. So it is, you know, he won't be 100% going into this. So to me, again, I think we're like-minded with it with Dawson Knox. Kyle Duggar will be the one to have that Patrick Chung type of coverage against him. He would be the one that is best suited to blanket tight ends. He's been doing it this season. And so you're telling him now that he's, you know, a guy like Dawson Knox, he's not going to have the number one cover guy, whatever you want to call it, corner, safety, kind of that defensive back right against him that the Patriots are deploying. And he's gone over this number, I believe, 6 times already this season. He is that kind of go-to weapon that in the red zone specifically for Josh Allen. I love that over there. Basically just telling him to get 30, and that's very doable for somebody who might not even have Kyle Duggar against him.
I'm trying to – is Duggar on – he's not on IR, is he?
He's on the COVID list, so it's protocol.
Oh, yeah, so he's not on the injury report. I was like, did he get cleared? I missed that.
He needs to get activated.
Christian Barmore, limited practice Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, is questionable for this game. Nick Faulk, limited practice throughout questionable. Belichick is so like, there's like seven dudes and they all were limited Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then they're all questionable. It's like he's sort of just checking off bodies. Like, these guys might play. These guys are probably playing, but I'm going to screw with Sean McDermott a little bit. Barmore would be a big deal if he missed the game. So would David Andrews, right?
Yeah, that'd be a huge, huge loss. Oh, David Andrews would be massive, especially when, you know, he is the straw that stirs the drink in that offensive line, especially in the running game. So you're talking about a key piece there. Both, really. It impacts the run on both sides. If Barmore's out, that really opens some things up for the Buffalo Bills, a Patriots defense that already has struggled against the run. I mean, we saw it last week against Tennessee when you had Donta Foreman and Hillard just going off for 100 yards apiece in that game in Foxborough. So again, that's why I like Josh Allen here, you know, in terms of the rushing yards, 35 and a half. For me, he is their best running back, whether it's in the red zone or what have you. He is the guy that can find success, have some design runs, some scrambles. There's a bunch of ways that he can get to this over in a game where they might not be able to move the ball as effectively down the field through the passing game. One way that he can kind of make up for that is doing it on the ground.
I love this prop. I almost took it as well. I think that he gets, I mean, you know, it's a good, it's a high number. 35 and a half is a big number for a quarterback rushing. But to your point, there are multiple outs to get there. Yeah. One is the Bills coming to the game preparing, like planning to utilize Josh Allen in the ground game, as they've done in primetime spots and important games before this year, where the opening drive is like all Josh Allen design runs. And if you're concerned, if I was Brian Daboll and I was concerned about Bill Belichick's defense and about the weather, I'm building in design runs for Josh Allen out of the gate. And I want him using his legs to sort of get comfortable. Like Allen's just, you know, I mean, you hear this like cliche all the time, but Allen's one of those guys where he, like, when he starts running, it gets him comfortable. And then that's pretty normal, right? Like it sort of gets him in the flow of the game. He kind of likes to take, you know, likes that hit, that first hit that he takes when he's running the football. And you could get this in the first quarter, honestly, if he rips off a long run. That dude can, I mean, it wouldn't be shocking at all if Josh Allen ended up having 10 plus carries for 50 yards.
Well, you say that it's, you know, it is a big number for quarterbacks, but, you know, not really for Josh Allen. He's gone over this number 7 out of his 11 games played this year. So it's a huge number for a, you know, a non-mobile quarterback.
Yeah, it'd be an insane number for Mac Jones.
Ridiculous. I think his is like 5.5 or whatever it is.
Yeah, so
it's like,
it'd be 9.5. But yeah, exactly.
You know, so it's just, you know, it's different for different quarterbacks. But for Allen, again, it's just the way that this is setting up. And this is, you know, it's obviously week 13. We're in an 18-week schedule now. It's a little bit different. But this is as much of a must-win game for Buffalo as you can really imagine.
This is an enormous game.
Because you're talking about
playoffs, but this is they're both probably going to the playoffs.
Yep.
Like this is a kitchen sink game for Buffalo.
Because you're talking about, this is the first of two games. This is the first time these guys have played each other this season.
Yes.
They have another game in Foxborough in a couple of weeks here. You got to get this one at home if you want any sort of realistic shot at winning the division, or at least having that control of your own destiny to win the division. And as we're looking at it right now, potentially be the number one seed in the conference. I mean, you're talking about not only division crown, but maybe a first round bye here as well. So if you can get this game at home, Buffalo, you're really setting yourself up nicely the rest of the way here. So like you're saying, it's a kitchen sink game. Josh Allen's going to be running around. They're going to be trying everything they can to really get this.
You're not leaving anything. You're not trying to hide anything off the film for this game. This is put it all out there. I mean, and the other thing too, like the Bills are having a fine season, but not the season I think that they thought they would have.
Yep.
I mean, you lose this game, you're 7-5. And it not only is the division like, we're probably not going to win the division now. Also, you sort of have to sweat making the playoffs. And somebody sort of has to sweat you getting over 10.5 wins for his biggest bet of the offseason. So while I think the Bats are going to win this game, I'm okay if the Bills find a way to get it done. I mean, look, 7-5, we talked about this on the recap pod last night. The Colts are 7-6. They're out of the playoffs right now. You know, Vegas 6-6, Cleveland 6-6, Denver 6-6, Pittsburgh 6-5-1. You fall to 7-5 if you're Buffalo with another game in New England. You're putting a lot at risk here that you might miss the playoffs.
You talk about Indianapolis. Indianapolis has that tiebreaker over them. So, I mean, that's a huge piece to that as well.
Yeah. And I think the Bills have Miami. Oh, they have the Panthers. They have the Patriots and the Buccaneers left on the schedule. After this game tonight, they have the Patriots again. So they play the Pats tonight at home, at Tampa Bay next week. So short week against Tom Brady on the road. Not easy. Panthers at home. I mean, that's a free, and they have the Jets and the Falcons. So, like, there's three more wins out there. This team, the only reason I even suggest they might not win all those games is they lost to the Jaguars 9-6. But, like, this should be 10 wins easy. They've got to find one against the Pats, though.
Yeah.
If for my financial purposes. Anywho, other props we've got. You've got Mac Jones over 19.5 completions.
Yeah, this one, it seems like it's probably a high number for him, but he's gone over at 8-12 this season. And for me, I see a scenario where the Bills, they have a good run defense. I mean, you know, they're not number one in DVOA like they are against the pass going into week 13, but they're number four. It's a top five unit against the run. And we've seen the Patriots, you know, obviously they lean towards the run, Ramondre Stevenson, Damian Harris, but they really weren't that great last week against Tennessee. It wasn't like this, like, you know, this Patriots are just running over. That was a much different game than what we've seen.
Two 100-yard rushers, and the Patriots had, I think, nobody over 50 yards or something.
Yeah, it was not great. So I'm a little concerned about them now getting a much stiffer competition, and it just coming off a really poor performance. And for Mac Jones, I do think, as much as we're talking about the weather being a factor, he really hasn't been the type of quarterback that's chucking it deep down the field. We've only recently started to see it a little bit with Kendrick Bourne and Nelson Aguilar, but it is more, I'm doing these short, quick, death by a million paper cuts type of offense that we've seen from the Patriots.
Tom Brady in early 2000s, Tom Brady.
Yeah, we've seen it a million times over the last 20 years. So to me, he's going to drop back probably, you know, 24, 25 times in this game. And he's one of the more accurate quarterbacks that we've seen, you know, rookie quarterbacks that we've seen in quite some time. So to me, even if he drops back only, you know, 25, 24 times, he's completing enough passes. He has a higher enough completion percentage where he's probably going to be 20 of 24, 21 of 25 and get us over here.
Yeah. And there are, again, multiple outs to this. Now, if the Patriots just completely dominate the game and just run the ball down Buffalo's throat, it won't get there.
Right.
But I agree with you that there is a very high likelihood that Mac Jones is forced either because the Bills stack the box or because the Bills have a lead, that Mac Jones is forced into a situation where he needs to complete 20 plus passes. And they can be screens, swing passes, right. I mean, like quick slants. Yeah, we're not looking for, you know, 20 shots down the field. But I think there's a good chance that it ends up happening. And obviously, Mac Jones, if you go over completions, you like the over on 2.5 receptions for Kendrick Bourne, a very juicy 2.5.
Yeah, this one makes it, I just think the number's too low. That's really what it is. It's not great value at minus 170. It's not right. Like, you know, it's not like Dawson Knox where we're getting plus money or anything like that. But Bourne, he's gone over this number in six straight games. He's kind of becoming that go-to guy. He is, quote unquote, one of the guys for Mac Jones. It's just, he has been that outlet for him in key situations, whether it's in the red zone or you're trying to make that clutch play down the field like we saw against Dallas earlier this season. This is a type of scenario where you're going to be in a hostile environment. The fans of Buffalo are going to be going crazy. The weather's going to be wild.
Builders flying onto the field.
You're going to be just under the elements, the fans and everything. It's going to be the most hectic environment that Mac Jones has ever been in his young career. And you're going to want to lean on the guys that you trust most. That's Hunter Henry. That's Kendrick Bourne is one of them. So when you're talking about 2.5, I'm hammering the over on that one.
Yeah, and look, I mean, again, minus 170, so you're paying a lot of juice. Right. But you just need three catches. Over the last five games, he has really sort of developed into, what, as you point out, Sully, one of those, you know, one of not the security blanket, but there's been a clear rapport that's been developed over the last month and a half, 2 months between Mac Jones and these receivers, and Kendrick Bourne has stepped up. I think if you go and look at it, he might be the best value signing at wide receiver in terms of free agency, just because of, you know, at the time it's like, what, he gave what, Kendrick Bourne what? And Bourne has been good. He's been very good. Five targets per game, four catches per game, 54.6 yards per game over the last 5 weeks. Like, not mind-bending numbers, three touchdowns in that span too. Not mind-bending numbers or anything like that, but he's catching 80% of the passes thrown his way. So if he even gets four targets, you're probably going over this number. That's
and
all
I,
you need.
And I have noticed they've used him a little bit differently over the last. Yeah. They've kind of figured him out. Exactly. You know, it's very similar to what the Patriots do and what any team does when they try. They get, okay, we sign him to maybe be this deep threat along with Nelson Aguilar to stretch the field. But now that you're starting to see him a little bit over the middle of the field and getting the yards after the catch, it's not so much just being a burner. It's let's get him open in space and let him do the work after the catch. So it's been a little bit of an evolution with him.
Yeah, absolutely. The other, I got two other receivers too. And again, I have three other receiving props actually, excuse me. Diggs over receptions, 4.5, also a juicy number. You know, oh boy, I don't know if I love, I don't know why I did that. I think he gets over this number kind of easily, right? He's over since week 6 against Tennessee, and obviously they're by in week 7. He has 54 targets, 39 catches in those 6 games. That is 9 targets, 6.5 catches per game. Now, if for any reason there's this 4D chess situation where Belichick wants to take out Diggs, which is highly likely, and Brian Daboll is like, oh, Belichick's definitely going to try and take out Diggs. Hey, Steph, you're going to do a bunch of like, you know, you're going to be a decoy, and you know, you're going to run this and this and this, and you know, they're going to double you, and we're going to go over here to these guys. Then maybe he didn't get over. I just think if the Bills want to move the Stephon Diggs is going to get 5 catches, is what my theory is going to be, even if he is double teamed or just completely blanketed, bracketed, whatever, you know, he's going to get to 5, I think.
Well, I mentioned it earlier. I mean, last year, Monday Night Football, he torched the secondary, and it didn't matter if it was J.C. Jackson covering him or anybody else in that secondary because they mixed and matched a little bit. He was succeeding no matter who was on him. And so it could, and you know, if they throw J.C. Jackson on him, if they just say, hey, listen, you know, you want to be the number one guy? Here you go. Stop their number one guy. Well, you never know. Diggs just might have his number. This could just be one of those things where he just owns him.
He's just one of the five or ten best receivers in football.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, that's just it. And then the other two overs I have, Nelson Aguilar over 21.5 receiving yards and Jacoby Myers over 41.5 receiving yards. I don't think that this will be a shootout by any stretch of the imagination. I think it'll be a low-scoring game, but you can easily get over 21.5 receiving yards. I think Aguilar's number should be closer to 30 or 28 maybe. And then Jacoby Myers should be 4 or 5 yards higher, and I'm sure it's you know, plus money. So
he's a volume guy. You know, he is somebody that's going to see a ton of looks over the middle of the field. He's again one of those guys. And Aguilar, you can make a case that he gets that on one reception. I mean, he could literally haul in one and you're over.
And the other thing too is it wouldn't be crazy if the Pats came out and said, all right, you think we're going to run the ball a bunch? We're going to let Mac like come out and let Mac throw 7 or 8 times on the first drive. Because if the Bills are stacking the box, thinking the Patriots will be running the football in nasty weather, like Mac can complete these quickies to Aguilar, Myers, and Bourne, no problem. Like elements, crowd, all of that, certainly concerning for a rookie quarterback. But this is a guy who's played on the biggest stage possible in college and has played on big stages already in the pros. And it wouldn't shock me if the Patriots' plan was to say, all right, they think we're going to come in here and just pound the football on the ground. We're going to do quick hitting play action stuff, and like quick hitters, play action, you know, mix it up with these, the script in the first drive. And if you do that, go down and get a touchdown. And they'll probably defer, but let's say you get a stop and then you go do that. If you're the Patriots, that crowd is silent and they're petrified.
Yeah.
And you make Mac Jones comfortable and then you can run downhill. And so that wouldn't surprise me if they came out not slinging, but like dinking and dunking early.
Well, I mean, you know, this is another kind of one of those big picture questions for the Patriots. I mean, they're the number one seed in the AFC currently going into this. You're in as great a position as anybody could be if you're talking about getting deep into the playoffs and potentially going to a Super Bowl. But I think one of the things that we still have to figure out, if they are actually to, you know, do that as quickly as they can, Mac Jones has to win a couple of games here. He can't just kind of, you know, pass along.
He can't be along for the ride.
He cannot be a side card. He has to be someone who's pushing this team along. And when you get into these games, whether it's against a quarterback like Josh Allen, who can throw all around the field, again, different maybe tonight because of the weather, but if you go it later in the year, whether it's Patrick Mahomes or one of these high-flying offenses, you're going to need this guy to kind of go toe-to-toe and really air it out. And, you know, this could be one of those scenarios where you start to see, okay, – you have a little bit more confidence that he might be able to do that.
I am curious. Just from this is not, we'll get to first touchdowns in a second, and not to expand this podcast any longer, but I do think this game fascinates me. So if people don't know, Sully's in Boston. And yeah, Pat's banner's behind you. Like, what is the, obviously everyone is in on Mac Jones. He's current huge favorite, like -300 or something for offensive rookie of the year. Everyone agrees he is everything, sort of everything we expected him to be, like this high floor guy who is efficient, doesn't make a ton of mistakes, has this, mental processing ability, and fits very well with the Belichick in the Patriots way and all that. On that sidecar thing though, do we feel like where do you stand? Like, has Mac won any games? I mean, or has it sort of been, he's just a part of the machine that's won some games?
I think we can say he hasn't lost games. I mean, okay. I don't think there's really any game that I can point to say that was really on Mac Jones. I know that there was the game against New Orleans earlier in the year where he threw a few interceptions. One of them was a pick six, but a lot of that was, I think the pick six was, I think it was either Hunter Henry or Jonnu Smith. I forget which one it was, but
and by the way, out of the hands, out of the Patriots at that point in time, like when they lost to the Saints at home in a blowout fashion after the Saints had just lost to the Panthers in blowout.
And I'll be honest with you, I don't really think he had a great game against Tennessee last week either. Yeah. Like, he threw for 300 yards. You look at the stat, you're like, okay, that was a good performance by Mac Jones. I think they were 2-5 in the red zone. He missed Hunter Henry on an easy walk-in touchdown. There were some things there where you say, okay, he's a rookie, he's learning. Again, it's nitpicking at this point because he's been so steady for this team. But I don't know if we've gotten to the point, like I said, where he's just straight up won the game for them. He's had moments where he's been able to bounce back off of miscues, whether it was, that game early in the year, he throws that pick six against Dallas, comes immediately next up and throws that, 75-yard touchdown to Kendrick Bourne. We've seen him be resilient, but I don't know if we've seen him completely take over a game and win it. He just hasn't lost games for the Patriots yet. So I'm curious to see if we can elevate to that point.
Okay, so here's averages over 9 games. 17.8 completions, 27.1 attempts. That is a completion percentage of 66%. 197 yards. What is it, yards per attempt? 7.3 yards per attempt, 11 touchdowns. That seems about right?
Yeah.
That's actually Tom Brady from 2001. I'm just kidding. So, that's Brady. Wow. That's Brady over the final 9 games of 2001. I was just looking at it. Like, they're doing what, and I wasn't trying to, like, pull one over on you. It's just.
No. It's a good point.
It's the same thing. They are doing what they did in 2001. Now, who the hell knows what Mac Jones will become, but it worked in 2001 because Brady was efficient. He didn't make mistakes. He was clutch. And I guess that's the one thing that Mac maybe hasn't done, because Brady would win game. He would, in 2001, he wouldn't have these monster stats, but he would just,
He would make that throw on third down
or make that throw in the red zone and to win, propel them forward. And so you're right. Like, this is a big game for Josh Allen. It's a big game for Mac Jones.
Yeah. And I mean, listen, we're talking about a guy that was, like we've said, we haven't seen it in the NFL yet, but he's won national titles at Alabama. He's played in the SEC. He's played well in the SEC. So, like, he's got that
enormous numbers in Alabama. Yeah,
I mean, like, he's got that pedigree for sure. It's just, let's see what it takes to get to that next level here.
Okay, we'll do first touchdowns very quickly. This is an easy first touchdown situation for me. I bet him already. It's bad weather. It's two offenses that are now. Look, Steph Diggs could easily score the first touchdown. That wouldn't be shocking. I had 6 guys, which is probably too many. You had 3. Matt Breida, 10-1. That's a good one. But we both have Josh Allen and Hunter Henry. Yep. I'm playing all the quarterbacks and all the tight ends, and then I'm throwing Nelson Aguilar in there as well.
Sure. That makes sense. Aguilar, again, is one of those. I think he had the first touchdown on the Thursday game.
Yeah. Yeah. That's basically that Falcons game is what is, like,
is in your brain.
You really? Nelson Aguilar. Yeah. Yeah.
It makes sense. I love Hunter Henry 17-1. It's just, I think that it's great value for somebody who is a legitimate red zone threat. Hasn't, been that guy. They should have had a touchdown last week, like I just mentioned, against Tennessee. They just missed. It was a walk-in touchdown for Hunter Henry. So to me, that's a great one that I like. Josh Allen makes total sense at 10-1. I think that
Josh Allen at 10-1 better is if you ever see Josh Allen in double digits for first touchdown score in a Bills game, that is a must bet.
Yeah, big time.
I understand why Diggs is 7.5-1, But like Devin Singletary, they're not going to run the ball Devin Singletary by the goal line. They're going to run it with Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Or they're going to have Josh Allen roll out and throw it to Dawson Knox.
He's their best goal line back.
Easily. That is a mistake. We've seen these guys. We talked about this. They tighten up the numbers on those first touchdowns, but that's a mistake. Josh Allen should be the guy who's 7-1. I hope Devin Singletary scores first because I'll beat Prisco and I'll stay undefeated. But, you know, more likely is that Josh Allen, they get down by the goal line and Josh Allen runs it in. There is a certainly Stephon Diggs is 7.5-1. Damian Harris, 6.5-1. If either of those guys scored first, they're the favorites. It wouldn't be surprising. You know, The Pats like to use Damian Harris down by the goal line, and the Bills are more than happy to let Steph Diggs get open against, you know, if they get man coverage, or, you know, single coverage down by the goal line, they'll go to him. But at double digits, I mean, give me all of the, like Dawson Knox, 16-1. I can't believe he's that high.
Yeah.
He's their go-to guy down by the red zone. We've seen He always catches the first touchdown. It's Knox, Allen, Mac is what was Mac? 30-1. It has to be 30-1 or better for me to take him.
I was gonna say I don't think he has a rushing touchdown yet. Okay.
But at 30-1.
No, sure. Absolutely.
I want to be in on it just in case it's like, oh, there it is. Right. I put it in a picks chat with some friends last night. I was like, I wrote Patrick as the first touchdown scorer. And they're like, yeah, nice hit, bro. And I was like, no, it's Tim Patrick, not Patrick Mahomes, unfortunately. So I want these primetime games, the quarterbacks just run in for some reason. So I want Mac, Allen, and then, like I said, there's three tight ends who I think could catch the first touchdown. Jonnu, 21-1, is I don't think he'll be the guy, but that's deep enough where I'll take a stab.
Good value.
Yeah. And Hunter Henry, 18, Knox at 16. I mean, it's no brainers for me.
And for Jonnu, I do think it's interesting because we've seen a couple of times this season where they've made it a point to start these games to try to get him going. And then once the game starts to kind of evolve, they kind of fade off and get back into their game script. But Jonnu has been a piece that they've been trying to get going for a while. And so especially on that opening drive where it could be a, hey, let's feature Jonnu a little bit. Let's see if we can get him, you know, get him, you know, the wheels moving a little bit. It makes a ton of sense to try to see if we can get value there.
Yeah, and I think, too, you know, we talk about how the Patriots like to operate. Belichick, you know, divides the season into quadrants, and we're in the portion of the program where Belichick is – they know what they are, they know what they do, but he wants to get all the – he wants to fine-tune all the pieces. And Jonnu is one of those guys where, like, you can easily picture Jonnu Smith having some random-ass 8-catch, 120-yard – 2-touchdown game against in the playoffs in New England where he's – or Jonnu Smith has, like – 10 rushes for 55 yards and a rushing touchdown or something, just something, you know, where he's lined up as an H-back and they just decide to do it randomly, something like
that. That's exactly what I was going to say, is that he could kind of get there a couple different ways, because you could say he's in the receiving game, or they just start deploying him as a runner a little bit more. They've run him a decent amount of times here, whether it's been on sweeps or as an H-back. They've tried to get creative with him, so it wouldn't surprise me if maybe they have a couple of tricks up their sleeves in this big game and he could be part of that.
Yep, only one touchdown on the season, but 5 rushes so far. So yeah, wouldn't be shocking at all. And again, 20-1+. Matt Breida, don't hate it at all. I think Singletary's mispriced. Like let the books leave Singletary at 7-1. Breida's the goal line back for them more than Singletary, I think.
It's really funny. We're gonna get obviously into DFS separately, but when I was looking at the DFS prices, Breida's more expensive than Singletary. And then when you look at the first touchdown odds, Singletary is more expensive than Breida. So somebody's going to be wrong there.
So, right. Somebody is incorrect. And I think it's the first touchdown. Yeah. All right, that's it for the props show. We will have a separate DFS YouTube video up that you can go check out on the YouTube channel, youtube.com/pick6. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Talk to you guys later.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.